Andrew, it's Monday, buddy.
Sure is.
Are you alive?
Yeah, I'm alive. I took a great nap yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
Oh,
it was long, and I woke up, and then there was ham. But Timmy, I was tired. My resurrection Sunday started at 5 a.m. What time did you get up?
Yep, the alarm went off at 5 a.m. yesterday. I actually slept all night, so. Whew. Flora says, what if you just left this intro slide continuously looping for 45 minutes? Honestly.
Well, we can't now. That would have been a great joke.
I wish we had thought about that because I'm really tired.
I'm feeling it, Tim. We did Easter yesterday.
Well, Andrew, yesterday was Sunday.
Yesterday was Easter Sunday.
And this
right here
is the morning after.
It's the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Well, we're here. It's Monday. Of all the weeks to take off, probably should have been this week, but we didn't because
that would have made sense.
We've missed you. We have a lot to talk about. My name's Tim.
Andrew. We're both home though. It's not like we're in a coal mine slaving away.
I think we're both pretty tired. It's been a long, long weekend. But hey, you know what? We didn't want to miss out on any conversations that needed to be had because when we miss a week, you know how it is. We forget.
That's when all the good stuff happens.
We get behind. It's scary. We've missed you, so fill us in. How was your Easter Sunday, Andrew? It's time. Let's jump right into it. I know we had a lot going on last week. I can fill you in, but I want to hear. I mean, we have not spoken. So how did Easter Sunday go? Not just at Safety Harbor Community Church, but in the city of Safety Harbor, because you do something really unique and special.
Well, Timmy, we started out bright and early at the Easter sunrise service at the Safety Harbor waterfront, which is lovely and beautiful. We had a worship leader from good old Lakeview Church, Jamie Height, Big Bass, stepped in for us, which was awesome.
Love that guy.
Pastor who has been the organizer of the event for as long as I've been at the church, he kind of up and left in the fall, and the church that he was at handled the music every year, and that church is ceasing to exist here in the next couple of weeks, which is a whole other set of issues. But we did not have any plan in place for the sunrise service. That is it's a very well attended service, probably 350-ish, depending on the year, hitting 400 probably. But it's got four or five different churches coming together at a public park at sunrise. And so when there's been no thought to go into the service and you're 10 days out from the service, you start to scramble. And we were 5 days out from the service and had no worship leader when I called Jamie Height, who just killed it. So that was cool. I got to hang out with him. But so like we said, the alarm went off at 5. The setup was beginning at 6. I thought I was going to be everybody's favorite and I'd pick up donuts, because who doesn't love a donut first thing in the morning? But it turns out the Safety Harbor Kiwanis Club, they're all healthy people.
Ooh.
Or, they all have different medical conditions that makes them not be willing to eat a donut at 6 a.m. So, I mean, Jamie and I had donuts, but then we
did you pick up the donuts?
I did. I stopped and picked up donuts. I'm thinking, so why has no one ever brought donuts to this event before? And now I know why, because I was the only person like, hey, there's donuts here. Nobody else was super into it. But, oh well. So we did the sunrise thing. I kind of tag team. I wouldn't call it a sermon. It was more of a devotional thought, like a 12-minute.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. So you had a role, but it was like a shared pastoral role with other pastors.
We all kind of like play musical chairs of who's doing the welcome and the call to worship, who's doing the benediction, who's doing the offering stuff, who's...
And then you just did popcorn prayer? You should like popcorn Bible reading, popcorn prayer.
It was one of those kinds of things, yeah. And so when we were putting this together, because we were less than 10 days out, it was, ooh, I am not going to volunteer to preach. I was the preacher last year as well. I also don't want to be seen as the person kind of grabbing the microphone whenever possible in the city events. And so one of the other guys suggested, hey, why don't you and I tag team something? And so he put it together. I just kind of added my parts a little bit. So it was maybe an hour total prep time that I put into it beforehand, which was great. And
that's
so
sweet.
I think we had five,
yeah, that's awesome.
Five local churches kind of chipping in with different roles that people were playing. And the whole service was 40 minutes long. So it's,
that's what I was going to ask. How
yeah,
long
you
was
get
the
there
service
and
total?
It's just
yeah.
completely pitch black. And yep. then by the time I was up there, the sun started to rise. Therefore the humidity started to rise. If you're not familiar with the humidity rising in Pinellas County, Florida, look at Tim's Lakeview pictures from the sunrise service and you see the steam coming off the lake. Yep. And we are right
no
there
sense in drying
the
chairs because they're soaking wet within 5 minutes.
They're soaked anyway. But so I'm kind of doing my spiel and my glasses just start fogging up. The humidity just hit that quick. So I'm having to wipe off glasses mid sermonette. But it was good. You know, it's always one of those events that you kind of exhale when you're done. It's like, whew, okay, we made it through, but then you got to go on to the next one. And then we just had one jam-packed service at Safety Harbor. We debated whether or not we were going to add an extra service this year, and the elders kind of unanimously said, we know the Hawaiian dancers were not there this year. They were part of the church that is ceasing to exist. So no spiritual luau, as it's referred to. No, hula. Hula is the dance. Luau is the meal. No spiritual hula. And we went from sunrise service back to church and got everything set up. That was kind of the weird thing is because I was at church an hour earlier than I typically am on a Sunday morning. So it was
because your service is the same, right? It was a 10 o'clock.
Yeah, our service is at 10. But so I was in the church parking lot by 7:45, 7:50. So by 8:20, all of the things that I'm usually scrambling to do on Sunday mornings were done. I'm like, okay, looks like a,
so
I got
to
hang out with the youth.
You might be getting to church a little bit earlier these Sundays, just so you can not have to stress so much and get it all done.
Well, when the youth group is in charge of doing the eggs for the egg hunt and I'm the acting youth pastor, then it's probably good that I had some extra time.
So that was not you in the Easter Bunny outfit?
That was not me in the Easter Bunny outfit. That was one of our
college
students.
I didn't know if you preached in that. I wasn't sure.
I did not. The Easter Bunny didn't show up till after the last amen. One of our college students was down from FSU and he was volunteering at the YMCA. And on Saturday, he had been the YMCA's Easter Bunny in his neighborhood. And then he just said, hey, everybody, I'm taking this suit with me to church tomorrow. And they said, okay, drop it off before you go back to Tallahassee. And so we had, you know, we had about 20 or 25 eggs per kid when I got to church yesterday morning. And then we had about 600 more eggs delivered on Sunday morning. So it was ridiculous, the amount of eggs my kids came home with.
Andrew, can you imagine snow at a sunrise service? I'm just looking at Matt Coyne's comment there.
I think that sounds cold.
The coldest it's ever been has what, maybe the 50s? Has it ever been?
That's terrible. It's 50s right there on the water is miserable.
That's maybe the coldest it's ever been here on Easter. I don't think it's ever been below that, right?
Shattering cold when it's in the 50s on the water.
Can you imagine? I'm assuming, Matt, you do not do a sunrise service. Although a sunrise service in the snow sounds pretty magical.
Do you know what? It would be more magical than several of the other sunrise services that I saw pictures of yesterday.
Oh, no.
Tim, I know we're going to get into Lakeview Lane and all the wonderful things that happened at Lakeview.
Sure.
But I texted you, I don't know what time. I do know what time, but I texted you pictures in between the time that I had stuff set up and when people were getting to church. And it was a picture of some sunrise services. And I said, Tim, not everybody needs to do a sunrise service.
Or if you do, you don't have to post about it.
Or if you do, maybe have someone take pictures from the back of the service, so that you don't have pictures of just nothing but empty rows in front of you.
So you're saying you shouldn't like stand at the 12th row where there's 12 empty rows of chairs, then take a picture of your sunrise service?
Yeah. But
maybe that was during setup, or was that like during the actual?
Tim, I understand that some people don't have green space. Like if we did a sunrise service in our at our property, it would either be in a mulched in playground or in the parking lot. It would, so we don't do our own sunrise service. It wouldn't make sense. We partner with all the churches in Safety Harbor.
You do
if
it right.
You are doing yep. a sunrise service in a parking lot, make sure the church trailer is not in the background of all the photos. I mean, and also, if your best option is a parking lot with a trailer as the background, maybe you don't need to do an outdoor sunrise service. Like Lakeview, you need to do a sunrise service. You would be foolish not to.
Yep.
But not everybody needs to do it. And I'm going to get off my horse. But I saw multiple pictures of churches that I was like, man, why in the world would people be doing that?
Andrew, did you have a teenager tackle your Easter Bunny? Because David Miller Jr. did. David, we're going to need to hear more about this. Was he provoked? Was he scared? Did the Easter Bunny do something to set off
this? Did the Easter Bunny kick him? Was the Easter Bunny another youth group kid who had stolen the tackler's girlfriend? And he thought, hey, I can get away with it now. He's got some padding in the Easter Bunny suit.
This could be
it. And people think it's funny. There's so many...
I need to know
levels,
more.
So many layers to this Easter onion.
Matt says, this is why I'm so jealous of you all to have an outdoor. So I'm guessing, Matt, you did not bust out your parka and put on your snowshoes. What are those? Your toboggans? I don't know what they're called. What do you call these things?
Toboggans are like sleds. You're talking about like the tennis rackets you strap onto your feet?
Yeah, what are those called? Is that how you got to church?
Snowshoes, I think. I don't know.
I'm not from the north. Matt, I'm sorry.
I think maybe he gets to
Easter in the snow.
Dog sled. Dog sled pulls him to church, and he.
Andrew, our Easter weekend, as you know, starts a few days early. We kicked it off this year with our Maundy Thursday prayer walk, which it was awesome. We had a couple hundred people show up and do just that. We had, I think, 12 stations set up around the lake to come at your leisure. We had a little window, come pray. Sorry, Matt, but it was about 75 degrees Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, it was toasty on Thursday. Yeah.
Lots of shade, though, so it made for a really pretty walk. And then Friday night, we have our – and this is what I'm thinking about switching up next year, but before we get into that, I need to know more about this Easter Bunny. David says it was an attempt to claim – okay, this makes sense. It was an attempt to claim the golden egg from our middle-aged anonymous bunny. Once he got it, I announced to the middle school boys that he was fair game to chase and tackle to steal the egg. David, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is your fault. You provoked this. You encouraged this. I hope you've learned your lesson, and I hope you do the same thing next year because it sounds glorious. I also hope you filmed it because I need to see footage ASAP. So, Andrew, we do Good Friday big. We've done it several times over the last few years, which is kind of weird because it's almost like, you and I have talked about this before. Like, there's only so many Good Friday sermons, right? We're talking about the same thing every year. So I've just done different variations of the same material with little bits of...
fits.
Yeah.
You think Aerosmith shows up in town and they don't want to miss a thing? Come on.
You got to play it. You got to play it.
And you got to get the animal crackers.
I'd also say this is like the one time of the year where the shock jock preaching style comes out a little bit. I don't know any other way to approach Good Friday than that style. So we had a couple hundred people show up, and we actually had quite a few say, hey, you know what? I've done the Good Friday service at Lakeview before. It's a bit graphic, so I'm gonna skip out this year. And I'm okay with that.
Good.
That's why we advertise it the way we do. We're very clear with the content that's described and talked about. So ended up having a great turnout, really cool Good Friday service, which led into Sunday, which was yesterday. And I'm like still feeling
yesterday was
tired.
Sunday.
I had all the allergy medicine. My throat felt weird. My nose was stuffed up. My head was pounding. My ears were clogged. I felt it on Saturday, so I just started taking the allergy medicine then, and then just continued to pound it on Sunday, knowing, you know what you got to get through on Easter Sunday morning.
So you can't call in a ringer on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, no. John, yeah, that's right. It says keep the material the same and add pictures. It's extremely important for people to fully understand. We could do a few more graphic images, I suppose.
I think you're probably good.
Put that in the file for next year. Alarm went off at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I knew that part of the team was already there. They told me they were getting there at 4:45 to start with setup for the 7 o'clock service. We opted not to do a simple setup this year. We went with a bit more of a complex setup. So we ran the snake, we ran monitors, we ran left and right speakers.
I saw you had lighting run outside as well.
We had lighting out there. John actually lent us his little battery powered light. That was awesome. That was huge for setup, John. So thanks for doing that. And yeah, we had left and right. We had monitors. We ran stereo. It was loud. It was booming. It sounded amazing. And
I'm sure the neighbors loved it.
The first thing that someone said to me, "Well, have the neighbors complained yet?" I'm like, "Nope, no one said a word," because we were testing it out at 5:30 in the morning.
So you should probably have waited till 6, because the Pinellas County noise
ordinance. I'm kidding. It was like 6:20. It was like 6:20.
You owe them nothing.
It was
there's an ordinance in the county that is between 10 and 6. Everything else is fair game.
And then, as the sun started to peek from behind the trees and the service was rocking and rolling, every time I was standing in the back, and we rented, you know, a couple hundred chairs, and every time I turned around, there was a new family walking up every time. And it just kept happening. And finally, I got word that the parking lot was full. Like, we can't fit. Like, there was, I think, 3 spots left maybe to squeeze in. And that was for our sunrise service. So it ended up being beyond max capacity, standing room only, just a beautiful service.
Biggest service of the 3 on Sunday morning?
The largest of the 3 for the first time in the history of Lakeview Church. Our sunrise has never, ever outmatched our 9 or 11 services. So we rented a few more chairs than last year. I mean, just a couple years ago, Andrew, we rented like 75 chairs, and we wouldn't even fill that up. So we went from 75 to 125 to 200 to 300 to 350. And I think that was what we had since 2019. So this year was absolutely max capacity, a ton of fun. The pictures looked amazing. Like, I'm
pictures
sure
you, looked fantastic. They're almost so like pretty. You have a professional photographer who shows up just to make you look awesome.
I think he just loves this Sunday every year because he goes all out. The edits look great. The shots look great. It looks amazing. But Andrew, something did happen. I didn't know what to do in the moment. I didn't know if I should say something out loud. I mean, it's an Easter sermon, so I'm not like, you know, Captain Jokey Pants up there. I'm not cracking least, a bunch of jokes.
At least a third of the people sitting there, you don't know, because it's Easter. So, you know, that's kind of the rule of thumb is the congregation swells by 50%. So if there's 300 people there, 100 people, you don't really know.
Exactly. So as I'm preaching, you know, I've got the iPad rocking in front of me, as you know, you and I both preach from a backlit iPad. And I see a creature start to crawl.
And it's sunrise where, you know, insects and creatures are drawn to the only light that they have.
So this little guy starts crawling from the left-hand corner, bottom left-hand corner of my iPad. Luckily, my right hand is the iPad scroller, so it's my right thumb that I use to scroll. So it starts crawling over right to the middle, then to the right-hand side where my hand is, and it's my first time preaching this manuscript. It wasn't the third service. I couldn't just, you know, not pay attention. Like, I needed to see where I was at. This was very early. And it was not a small spider. It was a large spider.
It was like the hairy kind?
It had hair on it. And I don't know if you know this, but there are 2 creatures that absolutely terrify me, spiders and roaches. Like, I hate both of them with a passion. I'm genuinely scared of both of them. And I didn't know what to do. So I had like stupid jokes running through my head, but it was at a very serious part of the sermon. So I'm like, Tim, you can't like just stop. Like, you got to turn that off. I know you want to
You're
say
explaining
something in the moment.
Plan of salvation, and there's a spider crawling across your hand.
John says, was it a wolf spider? I don't know. In the moment.
But with those, the cedar grove behind you there, that's probably what it was.
Yeah. I have no idea. I was scared. It's crawling on my iPad for a solid probably 3 minutes, which, you know, that's like a lifetime while you're preaching.
That's a very long time while you're
and
preaching.
And then I glance up to, you know, make eye contact with the crowd, and I look back down, and it's gone. So I'm like, okay.
Where did it go? Is it on me?
Is it on me? Because that's going to be like, as the sun's coming up, big brown spider on a gray suit. It's going to be so noticeable. And then I look over and it was just floating next to me. Like just floating. And someone in the front row, I talked to him afterwards. And he said, yeah, I saw that spider literally suspended in air on your right hand side.
So did you bring the pulpit out? Did you have a music stand?
Music stand.
Okay.
Yep. So I borrowed our bass.
Attaching its web to the music stand.
I borrowed our bass player's music stand, and I just, like, every time I glanced down for the remainder of the sunrise service, which was like the last, you know, 15 minutes or so, I just had my eye on that spider. My wife is convinced that it could have been a satanic spider. It's possible. Satan tried to...
What else would it have been?
Satan went for it, and I said, not today, you satanic spider. I should have killed it, but then there would have been, like, spider goo on my iPad while preaching, and I just thought that might not... work out well.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So in that moment, no one else could see it. Like if there's a distraction behind me that everyone can see, you can acknowledge that from time to time. But if it's something only I can see, I don't think I'd ever acknowledge that. I think you just got to keep rolling with it, and we can laugh about it later. But in the moment, it was not funny. Like I was like sweating, heart pounding. Like what if this thing just jumps up and bites me?
That's now, not so much the spider, but the distractions that nobody else can see is what I deal with constantly. Yeah. Because
you have the glass.
Our building is glass, and so I see out to the street and nobody else does. You know, I've talked about the cat hanging from the tree, or we had a snake crawl across the foot of someone that was sitting outside one Sunday, and so a crawl, you know, slither. And so, you know, the 12 or 15 people sitting outside, they all jump up. There's like ladies standing on their chairs, but everybody inside can't see that everybody outside is jumping up and freaking out. And it's like, okay, so at what percentage of the congregation do you have to acknowledge there's something going on? But if you're outside at sunrise, there's no...
Yeah, no.
There's, Jeff, you know, Jeff maybe says 2 or 3% of people can see it.
3 minutes is a lifetime while preaching, unless you're 3 minutes past your countdown timer, which, Andrew, I don't know if you have this now.
Yeah, then you're just getting started.
I have the countdown now. My sound guy asks me, all right, how long's a sermon this week? And he plugs in the exact number based on my word count. So I know how long I have for my sermons. So it's literally counting down.
What is your word per minute?
About 100.
Yeah.
But like if there's a lot of scripture, it's faster.
Yeah. See, I think I'm probably about 112, 120. If you're including scripture. So it's about... Yeah, I think I was 2,500 words yesterday in 29 minutes, but I only had 8 verses, so it wasn't a ton of scripture.
See, I was 2,900 words yesterday and preached for right at 28, 29. I mean, I think it was like dead on with the word count. Matt says, this is true, the one advantage to freezing temperatures and not being outside, yeah, you don't have to worry about...
You're
hairy spiders
or snakes.
That was a first. I've never had anything. I've had a wasp in the worship center, like right at my ear and over my head, and like people in the second and third row were freaked out by that. But never a spider on my iPad. So that was that's a new tactic that Satan went at yesterday. It didn't work. So he's probably gonna have to try something new next year.
Tim, you are in very good company with satanic attacks while preaching. My my niece was having an outdoor revival service in Greenville, South Carolina this weekend, just sharing the Easter story with her neighborhood friends. They've got a little creek at their property, and so she's out there with the neighborhood kids, and the redneck neighbor next door set the yard on fire. Like, multiple fire trucks pulled up to my sister's house because the neighbor set the yard on fire as Ava was sharing the good news of great joy to all the neighborhood kids. Wow. So that's what I said. I said it was not just the idiot neighbor. It was a satanic attack. So some of the boldest Christians I know being attacked by Satan this holy weekend.
Andrew, we didn't have to travel far. So after sunrise, you guys had to literally travel back to church. Not terribly far.
Yeah, but it's 4 blocks.
Ours was not even 4 blocks. obviously. We were just outside of the worship center, but we had an incredible team because typically Easter, you know, sunrise just kind of gets left set up for a bit until after the day, but we had dozens of people stay after sunrise to say, hey, we'll help tear down. Todd, our youth guy, was there. I think he was there before me at 5 a.m. on Sunday, and he just said, Tim, whatever you guys need. So he was like major hands-on, set up, tear down, whatever else you need. So I just thought that was awesome. So it was literally, sunrise was, you wouldn't even have known it. It happened by the time the 9 a.m. service started.
So I saw the stages that you guys had out there. Where I've never seen those before. Where did they come from?
Those were our platforms that we used to use on the stage in the worship center.
Oh, when like your stage wings back in the day.
Yep. Yep, and we've used them on the stage in the worship center from time to time to provide depth and to, you know, elevate the keyboard player or the drummer, et cetera. But now everyone's on the same plane in the worship center on stage. So we had those extra stages. And we have legs that we could have attached to, but we didn't. So it was just enough to get you off the dirt.
Yeah, you don't want to have an amp sitting in wet grass if you're plugging in.
Last year I preached from the dirt. So having a little bit of elevation was nice, but we might have to put the legs on the risers next year because I was told
if you have that more people, yeah, no one can see.
If you're sitting in the back, you couldn't see me the whole time. Todd said, he's just funny. He's like, so you started the sermon and for the first 3 minutes, I thought it was a spoken word audio you were playing because I couldn't see you preaching. So I was just like, wow, this is really good. And did he like rehearse this or something? Because he thought I was playing.
Tim is really into spoken word. If you're joining us for the first time, you need to know that Tim used to like freestyle with propaganda back in the 2010s when it was cool. And
that's how I rolled.
He had dreadlocks. I mean, if you need to know just how much credibility Tim had when it came to the spoken word scene, he was a white guy with dreadlocks, so you know spoken word was his jam. Either that or death metal, one or the other.
There is probably both.
The white guy with dreadlocks, you have to be into one of those two scenes. You are either in a Korn cover band, or you are going.
This is our Easter recap, and you're
coffee houses that are not famous for the coffee they sling to do your spoken word.
Wow. Andrew, after our sunrise, we had two really sweet indoor gatherings. The 11 a.m. was beyond max capacity, which is cool. The 9 a.m. had a little bit of wiggle room. But for whatever reason, people wanted to sleep in on Easter Sunday.
Or they wanted to get up.
It was either
you wanted to get up super early.
Anthony says, best biography title ever, Pastor Tim Preaching from the Dirt. Sounds like an origin story.
That's a good one. It's a really good one.
Andrew, I had something I wanted to talk about because this is inevitable because you take photos, you take family photos, you post about where you were on Easter Sunday and how your services went. And us in ministry land, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends who are working at a variety
of acquaintances who have friended us.
So we see all the posts. I don't know if you do, but I know you and I, because we share and we talk about it. So we see everything, what they did on Easter, how their Sunday morning went, how packed their services were, how empty their services were. So how do we avoid this?
How many rows were empty at the Sunrise parking lot service?
How do we avoid this feeling of either I'm the man, look how awesome my service was based on the amount of people, or I'm a complete and utter failure because I couldn't even pack out one service at church on Easter. Like there's this, like, I don't know how we avoid this trap because we're immersed in it.
I don't recommend having a best friend in ministry who texts you that their church was like almost six times what yours was on Sunday morning. Cause that's not what's going to make you feel good, Tim.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that text.
Stephanie's like, hey, did you tell your buddies about, you know, how awesome Sunday was? And I said, I texted one of my buddies because I don't know how everyone else receives these texts. So
yeah,
for the world to know, Andrew, you're the actually the only one that I talk about these things with, because I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh.
But as the recipient of that text, it's funny because in my brain, my math thought was, where Lakeview was when, you know, your first Easter, when you found out 2 days before, hey, you're preaching Easter,
yeah,
which is a fantastic story. Does that hit story. You every year that it's like, every year. This is kind of like the anniversary of...
It's always on the Wednesday or Thursday over. Because it was the Wednesday before that we knew something was rumbling, and then yeah, Good Friday is
when we found out. It was literally Good Friday when you found out you were preaching on Easter.
John has a great reminder. Just remember, it's all Hevel, Ecclesiastes, baby. Just keep that in view, and suddenly the comparison trap won't get you. But Andrew, how do we avoid this?
Like, I started doing math. I started doing math, and it's like, okay, well, here's what Safety Harbor was 4 years or 7 years ago when I got there. Here's what Lakeview was 5 years ago when Tim got there. And it's really easy to compare yourselves to other churches. And maybe because I'm at a church that, we are geographically limited. We cannot get much bigger than we are. Yesterday was uncomfortable. We rented a golf cart and we had people parking blocks away because it was the only way that we could do it. Also, it was one of those cool gas-powered golf carts. So we went cruising as a family and did lunch in downtown, which was super fun after the service yesterday.
I love that.
I think you should compare, because comparison is necessary, but compare yourself to yourself. And it's way easier to say that than to, for us here in the Tampa Bay area, we had one church that rented out Raymond James Stadium, which hosts Super Bowls. And so it's like, hey, that church had more people than we did. But for me,
yeah,
it's
suddenly,
like where,
suddenly you're 900 yeah. people on a Sunday morning, and you're
doesn't
like, oh,
feel nearly
they
as
had
cool as
30,000. 30,000. Like, okay.
They had more people than will be at the Final Four this weekend. Okay, we're good. We're good. But I think the best practice is to say, like, where have we been? Where are we going? And I realize it's way easier to say that in theory than to put it into practice. But for me, and part of that is context. Like if you and I were each at identical churches with the same type of property, the same demographics of people, then it would be one thing. But to say, hey, where are we on the graph compared to where we've been in years past? That's kind of the litmus test that I use, because it's the only one that we really can use that makes sense for us.
True. Laura says, it's funny, that stadium church had way more empty seats than your church.
They really did, They really did.
Matt,
and the only reason most of the people know how to get there is because they were there for the Taylor Swift concert. So if it wasn't for that, they would need directions. So we're fine.
Matt says it's so much easier said than done, but we rejoice when we see almost 700 people between both of your sunrise services. Woke up before the sun rose to hear the greatest news ever known. That's a good way to put it. Jeff, year over year instead of me versus you. Yeah, I think that's kind of the angle we're taking here for sure.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, we're human beings and we can have our feelings hurt, maybe intentionally, unintentionally. So I get it.
But I also think it's good. To like, because man, if you base your worth as a pastor on your Christmas and Easter attendance numbers, then you're gonna have a misguided sense of what's happening in your church anyway. You're like, hey, yep. We had whatever the big number is in your context,
right?
You're gonna feel that way, and so I think it's a good reminder to look around at other churches as well, especially in the social media era that we live in. I mean, growing up, we would have never known how many people were at the church down the street. But now we see pictures of our people who we think are our people on another church's social feed. It's like, oh no, when did we lose them? What happened? So
it's really funny. We had people go to like Saturday night service at a different church, sunrise at Lakeview, and then the afternoon service at a different church. Like I had people in my feed. I'm like Lakeview people. I'm like, that is, it's just funny because growing up, Andrew, that was like, you didn't
know.
Like now it's fine. But there was a time when it was like, yeah, man, that was not something that we did. Right.
And one of the guys who I did the sunrise service with, I was looking at his pictures that he had, and, or he got tagged in something. And it was like one of his family members. And it's like, hey, here we are with, you know, our family member. And then there's the actual family picture at one of the mega churches in town. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, their family went from, you know, the little neighborhood church down to the big giant church. And the one that they're posting is not, hey, aren't we so proud of our family member? But rather it's not the being proud of the family member is what you do, but your closest family members are bumping to three or four different churches on a holy weekend, then it's probably a good reminder that we are on the same team and we're working for the same goal. And so don't let your worth be in the numbers, but also you should know that no matter how big and cool you think you are, somebody else is bigger and cooler. Tim.
But Tony Dungy was at Ray J. I mean, that's a draw, bro. I love
it. Is a draw. Dungy.
I love me some Tony.
I do, and you're not even like a real Buccaneers fan. For me, he's the one who turned our team around.
Yeah, that's true. Matt says Andy Davis has a whole section about avoiding the comparison trap in his book Revitalize. Matt, drop us a link there. We'll put it in the show notes. This sounds really interesting. It's real good. Fantastic reminder of why we do what we do. Laura says, another point of comparison, how many more people are serving on Easter morning than previously? Is the church body more? And Laura, this is a great point because I mean, I saw this at Lakeview this year. It was one of my first thoughts. I had an elder text me after the third service and said, hey, please, please reach out to our key volunteers because we had more volunteers serving this year than we've ever had before. And it was the only way this weekend would have worked the way that it did at Lakeview was with
it's
our unbelievable volunteers.
The sermon is the sermon, you know, the music is the music, but really it's the getting people to catch the vision is the only way that you're ever going to scale.
CJ, we didn't go here. We can go here. You probably know where Andrew and I are when it comes to this topic, but CJ says, how gimmicky do you get on Easter? Andrew, I'll jump in first.
I mean, we don't have a football coach speaking from a football field, but some people might.
We pride ourselves in authenticity at Lakeview. So one of the things we say going into any major service, whether it's Christmas Eve or Easter, is that we want to be distinctively Lakeview. Mm-hmm. So our worship team looks the same. Our song selection, our songs you've probably heard us sing 2 or 3 weeks before. You'll hear us sing them again in 2 or 3 weeks. We don't have any specials outside of our sunrise gathering. I mean, I don't know if that's a gimmick, but our sunrise service is the only thing different about Easter Sunday at Lakeview for us, other than, you know, getting to see some faces we only see once or twice a year. Which
we have.
Andrew, do you acknowledge that or do you not acknowledge that?
Yeah. Hey, great to see you again. We have some hydrangeas on stage. That's different because we can't have lilies because one of our singers is like very allergic to lilies. Oh, and wow. So we have hydrangeas on stage We don't feed people after the service except for copious amounts of candy for children. So one of my closing announcements is, hey, we love you so much. Come back next week and we'll feed you, but this week we got nothing for you.
Matt says, I'll take Pastor Tim in the skin-tight suit. Look, here's what happened, guys. I had the outfit picked out. I haven't worn that jacket in a few months. So I put on the jacket and I realized I can't get my microphone on and off. I can't lift my elbows above my chest. So I get home and Steph said, so everybody's talking about your suit. And I was like, yeah, you know, I told everyone the same thing. It's the one time a year where Tim dresses like a grown up and I could use that joke over and over. And, you know, everybody got a good laugh about it. And she's like, no, that's not what I heard. And
that's not what they said.
She's like, Tim, the comments I heard were, well, I guess this is the last time Tim will be wearing that suit. It was a bit, it did feel like fat guy in a little coat. Like there was like some Tommy Boy vibe on my back. I felt like if I, you know, Richard too hard,
it's that scene in Crazy Stupid Love where Steve Carell's like, it's like a wetsuit under.
John says, okay, yes. So it is tradition. I wear the drawstring dress pants.
That's so terrible.
It drives Sam Rudkin and my dad crazy. So every Easter, I wear the same. It's like 4 years in a row now, 3 years in a row. I wear the same drawstring suit pants. They're very comfy. I don't have to wear a belt. and I can just tie them or untie them as needed.
Timmy, since we're talking about your pants, I'm gonna tell on myself. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
I haven't even said anything to my wife. I hope no one noticed, or hundreds of people noticed at the sunrise service. And so, Tim, I get back to church after the sunrise service, again, in front of everybody who's awake in the city of Safety Harbor. But again, outdoor, there's no video or anything. So who knows who could actually see me. But we did take several pictures. And if you look at the pictures that your good buddy Jamie posted, if you zoom in, you'll notice. So I get to church, I'm setting stuff up, but I'm wearing like actual trouser grown-up pants, not jeans, that are a little bit different from what I typically wear.
I like where this is going.
Timmy, I get to church after I've been up and in front of people for an hour plus, and my fly is so wide open, and I know I have not touched it all day.
No, it's in one of the photos?
So if you look at the pictures of me and Jamie, fortunately, like, you know how like nicer pants, like the lining matches the outside? And so I think it's possible that you could look at the picture, and if you don't know, you're not going to zoom in, you're not going to find it. But Tim, I was like, oh no. And I'm like immediately going to myself of like, what pictures were taken? Did I shake hands with the mayor? What's going on? And yeah, full on. That's what I get for wearing non-jeans.
Is it in the group shot or had you noticed it? Oh my gosh. The flies. Hang on, folks. Incoming. Hold the phone, Andrew. I was wondering if I could find this in time to get this on our screen right now. I'm going to go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Larson, can we?
Yeah, you have to zoom. See, that's
do you think I need to zoom in? I don't even know if I need to.
The nicer.
Hang on.
I'm going to go with, you know, the actual trousers, you know, that.
I'm going to keep doing this and just see how, like, where did it go? Did you see it? I could see it.
I mean, I see it there because I know what I'm looking
right
at.
It's right there.
It sure is.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to just.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't think we need any more proof. But so your drawstring pants, kind of hard to make fun of them when I was barn door.
Wait,
open
that wasn't
in front of,
that wasn't the whole service, was it?
Yes, Tim. I got back to church when I realized it. I didn't realize it until I was, you know, done with all my setup.
You didn't
at
text
church.
Me.
So I've been,
you haven't told me. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
I have not mentioned it to a soul, and now I'm telling it to the dozens and dozens of people who will eventually listen to this podcast. So your drawstring
Matt says,
pants.
please don't zoom. John says, just some extra ventilation.
I told you it was humid out there. There on the waterfront, you know.
Oh my gosh. Andrew, this is a fantastic story. It's one of the reasons why my hand will sometimes just do a quick fly check. At random moments.
But again,
I'm
the fact that no one said anything to me means I don't think anyone knows. Because if you do the fly check and you notice it, then you got to be like, whoop, and then you got to fix it.
So
fixing it draws more attention.
Matt says, the good news is your tie distracted everybody from what was happening below the waist. So
I don't know what was going on with that tie. I didn't feel like the colors were that pastel. That and the... between that and the coat, there was enough going on that people weren't staring at the zipper. Timmy, one thing that I did this weekend, another thing, well, you knew part of it because you were involved with the one service. I was at two different funerals this weekend, one for the side gig and then another one for a favorite teacher of mine.
It's for the likes. It's for the posts. He does it all for the gram. It's his character. Andrew's always in character.
I always want to be center stage.
It's a slapstick comedy. It's the way he lives his life.
Tim, have you noticed, and you know, you don't actually get to choose when a loved one passes, but have you noticed the people desiring a Holy Week funeral service? When I was talking to the funeral director, because I said, you know, this is kind of weird because I was working with a funeral director on Friday. I was going to a funeral on Saturday, and I said, you know, it's odd that I'm going to two funerals this weekend, and the funeral director said to me, this is at one of our busiest weeks of the year because I'm not going to read that. because people want their loved one's service to be, you know, with an emphasis on the resurrection. And so lots and lots of funerals and memorial services happening on Holy Week, which sounds great for the loved ones of the deceased, but sounds terrible for the clergy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have not experienced that, but if a family reached out to me and they asked, you know, what would be a better time, I would request, please not.
Like 51 other weeks. 51 other weeks of the year would
be better.
Other
week other than Holy Week would probably be my request. But obviously, if it's time sensitive and there's just nothing you can do about it, then it is what it is. But
also,
that's tough, man. That's really tough.
Call an associate pastor who isn't preaching this week. And I noticed an uptick. I had four or five people reach out like, hey, can we get coffee or can we get lunch this week? Last week, I had more people reach out to me this week than in the past month trying to hang out and do stuff. It was just trying to get together. And I guess most of our congregants realize that Christmas is a super busy time because it's super busy for them as well. But since Easter is not all that busy for anybody except for, I don't think families go on vacations unless it's spring break or whatever it may be.
Right.
I don't think a lot of the people in the pews, chairs, whatever you have, realize just how busy last week was. Because,
you know, it's funny because
funerals and half a dozen requests for people to get together.
Most of my Lakeview family, busy. The only text messages I got last week were, hey, praying for you. How can we be praying? What do you need from us this weekend? And outside of Lakeview was the meeting requests. So I had several, hey, great to hear from you. Sorry I didn't return your call yet, but it's Holy Week. And then the response was, oh, right, forgot about that. And I'm like, how? Is it just because it's so big in our minds that no one else is thinking like that? That, yeah, this is not the week to catch up on things?
I got an email from my admin. There was an afternoon that I was out, but she's like, hey, we just got a call from Clover. We have a Clover website that we use. And it was the guy from Clover Sites. And Clover Sites, they're not the credit card reader Clover. It's a different company. They're only church websites.
Hmm.
And hey, so the guy from Clover's calling, and he was hoping to talk with you for a half hour or so about new features that we can add to the website. I'm like, is he trying to get me to move over to Wix? What is he doing? Who in their right mind that only serves churches is making sales calls on the Wednesday of Holy Week? I don't get that.
That is an odd thing. But Andrew, Holy Week has come and gone again.
It's gone.
So we won't have another Holy Week for a while because Holy Week next year is like mid to late April.
It's not until April 20th. Timmy, what are you doing with your sermon series? Are you jumping back into Ecclesiastes now?
So we took three, which is weird. We weren't planning on a break, but we took a three-week break. We had a guest preacher. Then we had Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. So we are back in Ecclesiastes, and the goal from here on out will be to sprint to the finish line. I think we might have a missionary coming in town who might preach late April, early May. But other than that, it's going to be let's get through the book of Ecclesiastes. We're having a ton of fun with it. And I can't really get away from it. Somehow, like, it wasn't even in my manuscript yesterday. And I started talking about Solomon and Ecclesiastes. And I'm like, I guess, like, that's what happens when you spend so much time in one book. Like, the first thing you think of when you think of, like,
thoughts.
Yeah, you can't even help it. So we're going back into Ecclesiastes. What about you guys? Is it new series time? Sometimes you like to jump into things that tag along with Easter.
So we are next? Our Easter series was a three-weeker, and so we're doing Easter from Peter's perspective. So last week was the denials. Yesterday was in Mark 16. Tell my disciples and Peter, or tell his disciples and Peter. So it was kind of the emphasis on Jesus, including Peter, even after his denial. And then, so we'll be in John 21 next week with Peter's reconciliation and restoration. And then after that, we'll go back into our Genesis series on the patriarchs. So one more week of Easter focused, and then we'll be back in Genesis for, I think, 3 or 4 more weeks as we wrap that one up.
I like that. CJ, great question. This will be our last one for the day because I'm getting hungry, buddy.
Because it's lunchtime.
Yeah. CJ says, thankfully, we barely had enough capacity yesterday. If we continue to grow as we are, we're going to add another weekly service. That's awesome. Don't tell Andrew because his church will never do that. We're going to add another weekly service, and we may need another service.
We'd mess our casserole time, Tim.
I love the casserole time. So here's the question before us, our closing thoughts of the day. What changes for next year are you planning as of right now? Andrew, what say you? What are you thinking?
This is the first thing that jumps out is we need a little bit more clarification on the egg hunt. We had a little bit of chaos yesterday that wasn't
there you
necessary.
Go. Okay. That's a positive change. Yep.
That's one element that's going to be different. With the sunrise, I think the devotional sermonette worked well for what it was, especially with the notice that we had. Definitely a zipper check. Thank you, Matt. I think sunrise will have more of a traditional sermon, but have it be a little bit briefer. And
while not showing your briefs. Yeah.
Not showing briefs, yeah. Safety Harbor, again, the egg hunt. But I think we had a good handle on parking lot and looking out for new people yesterday. I want to do better at engaging with them once they're in. So it was a whole lot of, hey, we're so glad you're here. Any questions, let me know. But then kind of, hey, you're on your own. And I realized that there's a whole lot of people that are going to come out for an Easter service that have no intention of coming back the next week. But if a third of the families are, then we need to be doing a better job engaging and connecting with them.
Yeah, it's really good.
What about Lakeview?
For us, one of the ways we can easily manage the Easter growth, which we've seen year over year, is just by getting more chairs for our sunrise. So I think word's kind of gotten out. Sunrise is probably going to be the new highly heavy
it service.
Yeah, I think so. Not by anything we've been promoting. We don't do any targeted Facebook ads. We aren't like the, hey, get on down to Lakeview for Easter, you know, with me and my family.
Boy, if we had another half an hour, we could talk about the ridiculous Facebook ads we got this year.
And then I'm like,
hey,
do you know how to use
Idaho?
I got targeted ads from churches all over the country. Like, do you know how targeted ads work on Facebook?
Sometimes I click on it just because I want them to pay 3 cents so that they'll learn and do better. I'm like, I'm clicking on this because shame on you. I should not be seeing this.
Yeah, so we intentionally don't do any targeted ads or sponsored ads or anything like that. We just don't feel the need to. And for whatever reason, Sunrise has been kind of the happening service over the last few years. So we'll probably add a couple hundred chairs for next year. And then what we might do on a Sunday, a couple Sundays leading up to it, is, hey, in order to accommodate room in the worship center, just know we have a lot of space at the Sunrise because our indoor space is limited. Without adding another service, three is my max, buddy. Like, by the end of the third service, I was struggling. Like, I was very tired. I was very fatigued. But that could have been, you know, the medicine that I was on, the allergies that were hitting me hard. But try to keep up the energy level, you know, for three, you know, full length sermons was very difficult.
Would you consider doing something like Sign Up Genius or something to be like, hey, we want to get to about, you know, well, we'd shut it off once we got to 70% or 75% at any one service, but just so that our people can know how to plan and so that we can intentionally make room for guests.
It's really not a bad idea. The other tweak we'll probably make is going to be on Good Friday next year. I've got some ideas that I floated out to the worship team that we haven't talked about as a staff yet, so I don't want to talk about it here yet. But Good Friday at Lakeview Church will probably look a little bit different next year. I don't know. I've done a very, very similar thing every year. I'm ready for something just a tad bit different. So I've got some ideas for Good Friday that we might attempt for next Easter season.
Timmy, I love it.
Hey,
let's hang out face-to-face next week.
I'm in. I'm not going anywhere. When are we going to Orlando?
That's the next week. So, okay, so we'll be in my office together next week, and then the week after we'll be broadcasting from the Youth Pastor Summit.
All right. Love you guys. Miss you guys.
I hate you.
Right, what'd I do? What's wrong? We'll see you. Look at that happy, happy face.
See you next week.
Same place. See you next week, guys.